Hello, beautiful soul. Welcome to the Conscious Evolution Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Andrea Pennington. I'm super excited to share this interview with a very close friend, a dear mentor and spiritual guide, Sister Dr. Jenna of the Brahma Kumaris and the Meditation Museum in the United States. She is a spirited, soulful, and so precious being. And in this new book that she and several authors have contributed stories on meditation, she outlines ways that we can consciously evolve, how we can tune into our true heart and soul to become the best version of ourselves. No matter the chaos that is going on in the world, her message is about reminding us that everything will be okay. We may be going through some chaos and settling some karma, but at your heart and soul, you are this pure essence. And she shares in the book her own stories of awakening, of having mystical experiences. And each of the other stories in the book show you like practical, real life examples of how meditation and mindfulness can inspire you on your conscious evolution journey. It doesn't mean you have to go sit in a cave or be off in the Himalayas, although sometimes we do that in retreat, but it brings you this everyday wisdom that each and every one of us can tap into. So I hope that you enjoy the conversation, and I hope that you will also get the book, Meditation, and share your feedback. What mystical experiences are you having as a result? It's time to upgrade your life. Welcome to the Conscious Evolution Podcast. I'm Dr. Andrea Pennington, Chief Psychedelic Officer for Innate Vitality. In this podcast and our live events and retreats, we explore ways to hack enlightenment by integrating ancient wisdom and modern neuroscience with transpersonal psychology. From plant medicine and psychedelics to breathwork, mindfulness, and neurofeedback, my guests and I will shine a light on the unique capacity that we have to use our conscious mind to evolve individually and collectively as a species. Tune in each week on your favorite podcast player or the Pennington Media YouTube channel for interviews and discussions about holistic healing of trauma and adverse childhood experiences, burnout recovery, and intentional wellness. Sister Dr. Jenna, it is such a wonder and a joy to be connected to you again. Thank you so much for spending some time with me. Welcome.
Thank you. It's been such a long time. I was telling you it was too long in my text that we shouldn't have stayed apart for so long. I do keep up with you.
Yes.
And all of your awakenings on your Instagram and so on. But there's nothing more important than the intimacy of just when you're alive and in connection. So thank you for taking my invitation to discuss this book that has come out that means a lot.
Absolutely. Well, you mean a lot to me, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again in person. And before we start talking about this new book on meditation that you've just released with a rock star collaboration of other authors, our beautiful friends, Kanu Kogod and Reverend Sylvia, like there's so many other people, Stacey Goforth, yeah. Who else? There's a bunch. But before we talk about this new book, Meditation, Intimate Experiences with the Divine Through Contemplative Practices, I know that you just got back from India, and I was lucky enough to be there with you and our America Meditating family a few years ago. Mm. Now that you're back here, well, you're back there in America, I'm in France, we've got this crisis going on between Russia and Ukraine. We're all sort of coming out of the pandemic. Tell me if you could take the temperature spiritually of what you're feeling and sensing in the world. What are you tuned into?
We're going to be okay. Hmm. And prior to getting fully okay, we will go through a lot of opportunities to put more spiritual power in the soul. And when I say put spiritual power in the soul, is to become more awake, more alert, just more in tune with what your thoughts are telling you. that you are what you've been, what you've become, but perhaps what you can become. And so I feel like there is an awakening happening on one side, and people are beginning to feel there's something going on that's bigger than me, but I have to protect my soul from whatever's about to take place. And then there's this other side of individuals who kind of like, I don't want to deal with any of that soul stuff. Let's just move forward and do whatever we have to do. They're just living day to day and dealing with life on a very, you know, short-term process. And I think the both energies that are operating in the world right now are moving the drama the way that we're seeing it. Russia and Ukraine is just a sign that no matter how much intelligence is out there in the world or culture that's out there in the world, those vices won't leave anyone alone. Anger, lust, greed, attachment, and ego is the cause for what we're witnessing in Ukraine. Not just a man in power, not just, you know, two leaders that are trying to find their way through. It's the collective energy of this vibration in people's souls, Andrea. And I think when we can begin to really listen and look inside of our souls, then we can tap into that part of us that we've not been nurturing, which is, you know, as you know, we call it this golden age itself, or this deity in you, or this angel in you. We're not tapping into that power yet, but I can sense that many of us gradually are moving more into that direction. So I want everybody to know we're going to be okay. But prior to that, we're going to be doing some work. Mm-hmm.
And I think what you and all of these other authors have shared in the book, Meditation, just give us very practical examples of how we can nurture and protect the soul. So go ahead.
What's interesting, the 37 authors that journeyed with me, everyone had an awaken. There was a call from above or below. There was something very intimate that touched their deeper part of their souls in every one of the stories. And I think by reading their stories, something inside of the reader starts to awaken, because I think everyone has gotten called. Bob Marley has one of the songs that I like the most. He says, "Many are called and few are chosen." So I think we're all actually getting called, and we've been getting called, but maybe we've been so distracted by a relationship, financial strains, health issues, maybe even mental issues, that we're not able to respond. But in the book, you get a chance to hear how people responded to the call. So I think in the story, Andrea, are the tools. Mm. Like something clicks when you hear the stories.
Yes. Well, I was really surprised to read your story about the laundromat, because in all the years I've known you, I've never heard that. Will you tell us a little bit about your spiritual experience at the age of 6 in the laundromat with your mom?
Yeah, it was interesting. A lot of people have mentioned that story was quite compelling to them. I just remembered, Andrea, I was there with mom, you know, Mama Gita, and she's doing her thing, and I just felt that I was transported inside of me. I'm still so young, no? I don't know the language. But something inside of me became sort of unconscious and conscious, and I was just transported somewhere else into like this council of souls or of people. Everything was very light, very, very bright, but it was a soft, bright light. And these folks were sitting around table, and they were just checking in on me to see where I was, if I was okay. And then like I came back into my consciousness, and I remember telling my mom, "Mom, did you feel that, or did you see the mom? I don't feel like I'm here. Like I could feel I was just in an altered state. It was just somewhere else." And I never forgot that experience. I actually never forgot that experience. And I think when I was about 19 or so, I started to have more mystical experiences and started to connect them a little bit more. But that was my first mystical experience, when I was at the laundromat.
I love it. Well, What I'm curious about is, have you ever reconnected with that council, this group of souls or spirits that were just checking in on you? Have they checked in since?
That's a great question. Actually, when I first went to Mount Abu, India, and I met with all of these yogis in my spiritual community called the Brahma Kumaris, I remembered walking into Mount Abu, into the facility called Madhuban, which is Land of Honey. And as I walked in, everybody was in all white. And when I met all the daddies and all these senior yogi sisters, in a way, Andrea, they became, those were the counselors. Though, weren't they the folks who I'd seen? So I felt like I actually walked into that experience when I first went into my visit in India in the Brahma Kumaris. But on the mystical level, did I ever see them again? It's a great question. Sometimes you have so many mystical experiences, you stop counting them. So to be very honest, I don't remember, but I've had so many that I just get used to them now. So I can't say there's a specific one, but that was the first one.
Mm-hmm. So in this book, there's so much great wisdom besides the stories from all of these authors. You've also given very clear instructions on how to begin or deepen a meditation practice. And you also answer some questions and bust some myths. And one of the things that you and I talked about a couple of years ago was this idea that if you start a meditation practice, you lose your ambition, or you're just going to become so peaceful that you won't want to do business. And you actually say that's not the case.
Glad it's not the case. You know, as I look at my own personal journey, and I begin to observe so many others that I've been traveling with, whether they're with me in the Brahma Kumaris or they're friends in an Islamic tradition, or they're on their just their own path. After a while, and I have to tell you, I was in Thailand recently and I was chit-chatting with a girlfriend of mine, and she went off in the jungles for about 7 years. And she was just living in the woods in her house and doing meditation, and she had like a congregation and people around her. But after 7 years, she was thinking, how much more of this am I going to do? She went completely the opposite direction, from just wearing her white and being in the jungles to wearing Christian Dior and Hermes and, you know, making her house like a palace and wearing 10 carat diamond rings, and everything is about money for her. Everything is about wealth. And I said, that's great. I think that we need to strike that balance. And I feel that we're at a particular pivotal moment of combining the secular and the spiritual and revealing how beautiful it can be if both are together. So once upon a time, we were okay with taking off all our clothes or in exchanging it for a white robe or an orange robe. And even though I still have mine, it's just because I like it. But it's no longer the need. You don't have to go away to the jungles to find yourself or to feel that too much money isn't right. Too much money is a good thing. When you have a lot of money, you can do more for more people. You can help the people that you love. You can do things that you've always wanted to do. You can do charity. But when you don't have it, then, you know, you're always begging for it, no? Or you're living in fear. And that doesn't feel like a spiritual thing for me. So I believe that if I'm moving well internally and I'm answering my whys with some element of ethics and values and virtues, then abundance has to find me, abundance of good people in my life, abundance of health, abundance of mental stability, and abundance of wealth. And that's entirely up to you, how much is enough for you. You know, for some of us, it's unending. And for others, it's, this is enough, I'm okay, you know. So spiritual wealth is connected to financial wealth, relationship wealth, and mental wealth. And I think we need to accept that now.
I love that. I love the depth of the wisdom behind that, because as you know, we hang out with a lot of spiritual entrepreneurs and healers and quote-unquote lightworkers. And one of the things that was most challenging for me as a business mentor to lightworkers was hearing them say, these gifts were given to me by God. These are spiritual gifts, so I shouldn't charge a high price for them. And yet what they were ending up doing was living in a sense of lack and not being able to really grow the business so that they could serve more people or so that they could even offer scholarships for their programs.
Yeah, and that's something. But I think also because we've been so conditioned to see the sage on the stage or looking at Jesus or Mother Teresa or the Dalai Lama and all of these images where the projection has been they're only connected to source and to the purity and the sanctity of their inner world, and they're in service to humanity. So since they have set the tone and they have laid the foundation of that vibration, we all don't need to follow it exactly that way. And the most important thing to follow was, what was their state of mind? What was their connection? The other day I was looking through the window from the room that I stay in here at Om Shanti Village. And there were all these Canadian geese in the river. And they were just playing and floating around. And at that moment, I was talking to God, who I called Baba. And I was saying, you know, for thousands of years, we've been doing rituals for you. We do prayers, we read books. You tell us nature's beautiful. I guess what you've been trying to just tell us is just to keep maintaining that pure feeling that you get when we do the ritual, when we look at nature, when we find something inspiring in the scripture. You're actually trying to tell me, Jen, stay sweet in your nature and you will have me with you all the time. And there was something about that moment yesterday that triggered something deep, where I really felt like I want God not to be my shadow, but like my consistent flow. And I keep checking myself, how am I really feeling? You know, is there a sacred sense of self? Am I feeling pure at heart? I feel sweet. And if I can answer yes, then I'd say, okay, I've got Baba with me. I got you. And if I'm feeling the ego, if I'm feeling the fear or the doubt or the desire or the expectation, then he's kind of like the shadow. He's sitting there waiting for me to give him some attention. And I've felt the difference in my feelings. I don't feel that way. We're working on a very important film project with some folks for Netflix. And that's why I was traveling to Thailand, India, and these places. And there was somebody who had made a connection and they started to sort of feel their insecurity. You know, I brought you guys together and you got to make sure you make me into a producer. And I'm the one that, and many of us that had become connected in the team for the film were like, we're not there. Sure, you brought us together. Things are going to happen. Don't worry. So when I was feeling her sense of desire or a need to find some sense of ownership, I was feeling how it was taking from the vibration of the production that the crew was working on, because it was affecting the director. Like, she felt like, am I doing something wrong? And she really wasn't. Long story short is that when those feelings emerge, where you are feeling less than, like you said, there's a lack, like you can feel it, it's a void of Baba's light. You can feel I'm not in that zone. And you know, you look at a caterpillar and it's just a worm. And they just keep consuming and consuming until they can't consume anymore. And then after a while, from that stage, it evolves into a butterfly, because as much as it kills its old cells, there's always one cell that's left in the butterfly that can be nurtured. And it's the one cell in the butterfly, everyone, that has the code of, I can get wings here. I can get wings and change from being a caterpillar. And so I think with where we are, there's a spiritual awakening happening so deeply that we're tapping into the purity of the soul's personality. So the love and the peace and the purity are giving us wings to fly. So I feel like it's such a powerfully rich time. And yeah, abundance should come with your spirituality, especially relationship abundance.
I love it. I love that you're touching on the theme of this podcast is conscious evolution, rather than being driven by outside forces that cause the humanity and other species to evolve. We can use our consciousness. We can use the soul awareness. And as you said, to tune into our feelings, am I feeling like I'm aligned and in the light? Or am I feeling that neediness, that grabbiness, that attachment? And then we can consciously choose to realign.
Journey that we're on, because what I'm feeling and what I've recognized today or yesterday, I didn't 10 years ago, even though I had the information was still being kind of tilled in my soul, not soil, but the soil of the soul. And I was really just changing. You're going to change every single day if you decide to pay more attention to the way you feel on a regular basis. And I don't mean you keep walking around the house and keep checking, how am I feeling? Oh my God, am I with God or not? Am I not? That's not what I'm saying. There are just various scenes that will emerge for you during the day, and you'll get a chance to check, how should I respond to this? I'm feeling a little scared here. Where's the fear coming from? Definitely from some image or experience of the past. But if I bring God's light in, will there be any fear? No, there'd just be, this is what you need to do. Let's go. So I think that the reason why there's so many complexities, I can't believe we're witnessing like Cold War in the 21st century. It just seems so archaic to see bombs being, launched on people's buildings. And it just feels like, is this really happening? That people are still thinking so backward. And the answer is, yes, it is. And that's what devices do to you. It makes you make a decision that really makes no sense. And you might be the only one who can't see it, but everyone else on the outside can see it. So if you have a close friend and then they can wise you up and tell you the truth, that's a great thing. But if you have spiritual knowledge, it won't lie to you. It'll tell you what you're doing.
Awesome. Spirit doesn't lie. Well, Sister Jenna, I am so grateful for you, for our connection. I'm grateful that this book has come out and is now spreading around the world. Thank you for writing it. Congratulations to you. Once again, thank you.
I appreciate you, Andrea. And, I had invited you to co-author with me, but I think you were too busy. And what I love, some of the people in here are like Jean Houston, Sister Jayanti, who you met in India, like you mentioned, Reverend Stacy Goforth and Dinan, Emily Hine, who you know very dearly, Max Tucci, Reverend Sylvia Sumter. And I loved what Kathy Hughes said after she read it. She said, on every page, it comes to life for you. Something comes to life. And she was right, because as I keep rereading it over and over again, I go, Kathy is right. They do come to life, these stories. So hopefully when individuals go and get their copy at Amazon and they sit with a nice cup of tea in the evening, read one story at a time, See if it changes you and it makes you a better person.
Absolutely. Well, I should say that this is actually one of a series of books that are produced by this publisher. And I actually did make the time to write a story, but the publisher decided that she wanted it in a different book and not in the meditation book. So.
Hey, all right, good. Okay. I didn't know that. Sacred Stories Publishing, which is run by Arielle. And she and her team have been like really fascinating. They have a series of book called Common Sentience. Mm-hmm. And the meditation book is the second one. I think she's on the third one now called Nature. I'm suspecting that the meditation one really has become a big, big winner in her series so far. But I believe she's got a few more that's coming up. Yeah. And so do check her out at sacredstoriespublishing.com, I think.
Yes, I will make sure that it is in the description for this show. Yes.
All right. Well, I can't wait to hear your story.
Yes. Good. Good.
All right.
Thank you, dear one. I will see you in the United States soon.
Thank you.
Take care. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
Want more info on how psychedelics may improve your mental well-being, how to choose a retreat, or what to look for in a shaman? Get on the Psychedelic Curious email journal. The link is in the show notes and on my website, AndreaPennington.com. On my website, you can also sign up for my free masterclass series, where each month I take a deep dive into a topic in holistic healing, trauma recovery, self-love, and resilience. Thank you for tuning into the Conscious Evolution Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and share it with a friend. Also, leave us a review and a rating on your favorite podcast player. This helps us get the content out to a larger audience. And to watch the video version of this podcast, visit the Pennington Media YouTube channel.